بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The wife of Hazrat Imran had taken a vow. إذ قالت امرأة عمران رب إني نذرت لك ما في بطني محررا. What's concealed within my womb, I dedicate it to you. This child, O Allah, must be freed. Freedom is of two types. One is the one that is freed from the chains and the parameters of the Sharia. He's not concerned about the Sharia. He's not concerned about Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is one type of freedom. Hence he won't be concerned about his hair, his beard, his kurta, his mustache, his nails, and all the more he won't be concerned about his heart. So the shackle and the chain that's around him is the shackle and the chain of people. That he must appear presentable and good in the eyes of people. What people have to say about him? What's their impressions? How do they look at him? So he's overawed with people's impression about him, and he needs to perform to the level of people's expectations. So this is one type of freedom, freedom from the Sharia, and then you get chained by people. And this is such a chain that it is difficult to continue. Every coming day, it's another expectation from you. Because you've kept aside Allah, you've kept aside Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you'll be chained by everything. Your popularity, your acceptance, your being well received, honored and respected, received well by your children, by the people around. So all the time, at any given time, that's the concern. That's the concern. How are you accepted? How are you received? Do they receive you well? And now, people have gone even deeper into this chain. There is a thing like a virtual reality. People that are stuck onto this berries and all that, white berry or blackberry. But that's another chain that they have got themselves stuck onto. They got contact all over the world, 50, 60 people. So all the time they have to keep themselves chained within these contacts. How do they feel? What do they think? What are they doing? What aren't they doing? Why are you responding? Why aren't you responding? So this chain is such a severe chain. In the words of Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Alayhi, it's worse than Jahannam. Chain upon chain, chain upon chain. You're doing a wedding, so you have to be concerned about people. What are the impressions about us? If you invited one person, you didn't invite the other person. Now, how will this person take it? So you see, it's chain upon chain. As Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi had got his daughter married. And then he made a public announcement, who wishes to attend the nikah, they may attend. And who does not wish to attend the nikah, he may not attend. So one senior member of the family came in and he reprimanded the Shaykh. Family member, so they have got the right to reprimand. So he says to Hazrat, "Tune to naak kaat di." In Urdu, when they want to say that you have brought insult to the family, they say, "Naak kaat di," you cut the nose. Now, the Shaykh is so cool and calm and relaxed. And he says, "I think you're mistaken, I think. You may place your hand over my nose and you can see, you'll feel it at least. And you'll be a witness to the rest, my nose is still in place. Nose hasn't moved out." So this is one shackle, it's a chain, you tied up, you can't move out of it. Is any situation, how do people think about you? It's a holiday, now how are you going to perform? What are you going to do? If you don't perform in accordance to expectations of people, then how will they view you? So you tied up, jakre gai, in chains, chains and bonds, you can't move out of it. If you don't dress up like this, how will people look at you? If you don't talk in a certain way, how will people look at you? If you have a party, if you don't do it in a certain way, then how will people look at you? If you have a car, you don't have it in a certain way, then how will people look at you? If your house is not in a certain way, then how will people look at you? So all the time, it's people's expectations, people's hopes that you are living up to, all the time. So that is one type of chain. And the other chain is, I've chained myself to Allah Ta'ala and His system. Now you've broken away from every other chain. Irrespective of what they have to say about your beard, you're not concerned. So you may say 101 things about the beard, you may condemn me, you may criticize me, I'm not concerned about it. You are insignificant. You will tell him that compared to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi, you are a non-entity. You say it and you don't say it, it's the same. It doesn't make a difference in my life. So that happens when you have chained yourself to Allah Ta'ala, then you break away from every other chain, every other system you have broken out. Now you're not worried, if someone comes to your walima, you're not concerned about it. They come, they don't come, it's the same thing. If they despise you, they look down upon you, or they look at you with respect, you're not concerned. Your whole concern is, how do I fare by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How Allah ta'ala sees me? That's the mighty concern. This mighty concern is like the staff of Musa alayhi salam, that eats up everything else. Anything comes in its way and it eats it up. So that is that mighty chain that you have chained yourself up to. And it will eat up and swallow everything else. Everything else is swallowed. In one gulp, it will swallow everything out. You had this group of awliya ikram and buzrugan ad-din that had chained themselves up, that had tied themselves up to this. As a result, they were freed. So the wife of Imran alayhi salam also, alayhi salam, is also saying that muharraran, I want this child to be freed. He mustn't be worried about people. He mustn't be dedicated to their services, material. I don't want him to be in that. Allah Ta'ala, he must be freed only for you. What people may say and what people think and what people do, I'm not concerned. But this child must be freed for your service. This class of awliya ikram, they wanted to remain concealed, they're not known, they're undetected. Sultan Shamsuddin Altamash rahmatullah alayh was one of them. He was so concealed, and where he got the slightest wind that people may just begin to recognize him, people may know about his special relationship with Allah Ta'ala, then he moved away. And he moved away, went away to the army. Now, he is treated as a normal person in the army. Talking about 700 years ago. And he's counted as a normal person, normal soldier. Until one day there was a severe, severe storm. They're out in a journey, and the storm switches off all the lamps, lanterns that are around. Everything is total covered in darkness. The king is the most scared person, obviously. He has much more bodyguards. Don't you see, if there is a government official, then there's blue lights flashing in front and blue lights flashing behind. So an ordinary person, you don't need anything. In the Haram Sharif, if there's an official coming, then there is a whole battalion around him. You cordon the whole place off. So they're more scared. So we have to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He hasn't binded us to this. Otherwise your tawaf would have been restricted. You couldn't make tawaf so much. You're more scared about your life. You can't make tawaf so freely. Now you've got the opportunity of making tawaf freely. No fear, day or night, any time, anywhere, you can make tawaf. You want to make ziyarat at any time. You want to spend the whole night in the Riyazul Jannah, you can do it. Why? You're not under any system, any structure, any type of bond, any type of chain. Now look at these poor people, they can't. They want to, but they can't. So he volunteered, "Oh Allah Ta'ala, I want to just break away from people. People mustn't see me at all. Now there's no light." Now the king, when he saw this, one of his special people said, "Go and see if there's any light, go and fetch some light." Now it's a whole big army, a couple of miles long. At the distance, they can see one light. And they, when they approach the light, they see it's not a single light. It's like a million lights there. Now secretly, they went, they got some light and they brought it to the king. But it sends some type of curiosity within these people's minds that what this person has got. None of us enjoy the beauty, the calmness, the happiness that this person enjoys. He's got something else. Where are you? What is he taking? So they had a commission of inquiry now to send someone behind him to see what he's doing. They got him around Tahajjud time. We're talking of some parts of India, like near the Himalayas, you know, and it's snow-capped. The whole rivers are snow-capped. So he gets up for Tahajjud, he goes to the river, makes wuzu, like as though nothing, as though there's no absolutely no expression, no coldness. You know, you're making wuzu with cold water, you make all this type of expression. No expression coming on his face. So they go and see that spot that he's making wuzu from, and they see nice, comfortable, warm water coming out. This person, ho nao ye koi aadmi hai. So when this happens, now he says, Allah Ta'ala, now you exposed me. Allah Ta'ala, now move me away from these people. I want to move away from these people. So they want to be freed. So they're not under any shackle, any chain, any bond. It's a relationship between them and Allah Ta'ala. And people don't know them. They don't know people, just between them and Allah. They're enjoying themselves. Aurangzeb Alamgir Rahmatullah Alayhi, most of us may have heard, was about the last of the most successful Muslim rulers of India. So, around his time, his father is aging up, and his father's eyes are set upon Daroshiko. Daroshiko is his brother, but Daroshiko is the elder brother. Shah Jahan, the father, couldn't get children after many, many years. That was the first child that he's got, that is Daroshiko. Very great alim, very, very great alim. Some of his kitabs are here as well. Safinatul Awliya and all that. So he was an expert, specialized alim. Not an Isa Waisa alim. You know, in all other subjects like funoons, logic and mantik and philosophy, ancient times, he was quite a master in all that. In Arabic language, Persian, all a master in all that. So the king and what, he's got access to everything. So and all the specialists to come and teach this child. But unfortunately, the child went onto the wrong track. He is paying respects to a Hindu sadhu or a yogi. When he feels right, he's worshipping some idol. And sometime he's coming on the side of Islam. So he's got that ilm and the knowledge and everything else. But there's something deficient in him. Sometimes he's on this end, sometimes he's on that end. If he's going for blessings, he's going to a Hindu. He's going to a sadhu or a yogi is going to. And sometimes he's coming on this end. Now the ulama of that time, they agreed that if this person is going to take the reins of the hukumat, then he is going to destroy the entire Indian Muslim population. He will take them to the path of devastation, destruction. So they pleaded to Hazrat Alamgir Aurangzeb Rahmatullahi that he must come in. He's the brother, but he's not in line. The father wants Daroshiko to become the crown prince. So anyway, it's a long, lengthy story. A story that will come sometimes later, inshallah. But I want to show you something else here. Now, this was his habit. You will see any person, pious person, impious person, bidati, Hindu, anybody, Christian, you'll go and ask for blessings. Just that he must become the prince, he must become the king after the father. He must be successor to the throne. So he'll go to any extent to just go and secure this. In the meanwhile, they heard about one saint that's coming to Delhi, and Daroshiko went up to him. Idea is to get the dua so that I become the successor to the throne. Everything comes on my lap, comes on my side. So anyway, Alamgir Rahmatullahi also hears about it, and before him Daroshiko hears about it. So anyway, the Buzurg entertains him, everything else, and after a few statements, the Buzurg tells him, come and sit here in my place. He said, Hazrat, Hazrat, your place and your respect, how can I sit in your place? So thereafter, as he's leaving, he says, Hazrat, you know, make dua for me that I become the king after my father. I have become the successor to the throne. So that Buzurg tells him, well, I had offered you and you had refused it. I had offered it to you and you had refused. You turned it down. Now he got a remorse of his life. Hey, I was offered the thing now and that thing went out of my plate. It went out. I lost out very badly. Now he wants that this news mustn't reach to Alamgir Rahmatullahi. And meanwhile, Alamgir Rahmatullahi heard about this Buzurg and he came in. So he tells the same, that Buzurg, the same thing, that this is a problem here, this is the nature of the problem, and this is what the ulama feel, I should take this place. So that Buzurg asked him also to sit in his place. He sat down immediately. And thereafter he says, make dua for me that that place is secured. So now you have secured the place already. So that place is secured, all right, is it complete? He said, no, it's not complete yet. What's left? He said, takht to ho gaya, takht nashini to ho gayi, you have got the throne, you have got already, but the crowning procedure hasn't yet completed. There's another procedure still. One is the throne, and then is the crown. So the crowning is not yet complete. So how does that complete? He says, well, there's a slave working for you in the royal palace, and he does your wuzu. So you need to tell him to do the crowning. So well, so ghar ki baat, this we can do it. In tutus we can do this. So anyway, he comes home and tells people, I want to make wuzu. So he got his whole turban out, place it on the end. So he says to this slave now, that take this turban and place it on my head. Hazrat, how can I do such a thing? So now, yeh toh mera hukam hai. This is my command. You take this and place it on my head. Well, Hazrat, someone has told you about this, that I am in charge of this. You see, this awliya-i-kiram that are in charge of taqween. Like you get awliya-i-kiram in charge of tashri, ulama, muftiyan-i-kiram, etc. Then there are some awliya-i-kiram that are in charge of taqween. So he is of that branch. Right? He is of that department. So even Alamgir Rahmatullah told him, that's my instruction. He says, well, I've been exposed by that Buzurg. You know, that Buzurg has hinted to you. Well, now that mera muamla fash ho gaya, now the secret has been exposed. Now please free me. So now, mera toh kaam ho gaya, you want to go, you can go. I just wanted to secure this. The work is done now. Whichever direction it goes, I'm not concerned about it. So this is a second freedom. You want to be freed from the shackles and the bonds of life, of people, etc. You don't want to be tied up by them. You feel to yourself, one bond is enough. And that is the bond, and that is the chain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't want anything else to be chaining me. Not my shop, not my business, not my occupation, not people, not my friends, nothing. Nothing must chain me. Not my wealth, nothing must rule my life. It is just Allah ta'ala that must run my life. Nothing. I'm not concerned about anything else. So that is that second bond. And this was the dua of the wife of Imran. Muharraran fataqabbal minni. I freed him for your service, O Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, do accept this of me. In the ummats in the past, they could make this type of mannat, and they could make this type of vow, where they would vow that the child will be dedicated for the service of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That was an acceptable thing. You know, the mother's role is very pivotal in the life of a child. Mother's role. And Allah Pak has made such circumstances that she can bond with the child and she can get the child to move from strength to strength, but then she needs to be very firm about the whole thing. Really, if she is firm, then most of these people that have become awliya is on account of their mother's tarbiyat and the direction that they receive from their mothers. we consider this as an insignificant thing, but really, most of these people that turn ulama, buzugan ad-din, mashayikh, etc., then you go and trace back and investigate the past, it's because of their mothers. The mothers have got one secret in them. Very great secret they have got. And that secret is the secret of ikhlas and love. The father can still go and say, you know, my child, he read that Taraweeh namaz, you know, and he gave that bayan. The mother, who knows about the mother? She's in the background. Nobody knows about her. She's concealed in parda. Nobody knows about the mother. The father can boast around. So she's got some tool. She's got some instrument. And that is the instrument of ikhlas, sincerity and love. So what role she can play, nobody can play in the life of the child. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, around 7th-8th century of Islam, and the multitudes of people that used to come to him, hundreds and thousands, government officials, etc., Amir Khusru, that Zamana, you're talking of 8 centuries ago. But all this is the work of his respected mother. He says, the constraints that we've been going through, my father passed away in infancy, my mother had taken the responsibility of educating us and giving us a direction of deen. It all was for my mother. It wasn't mine, it was my mother's du'as, her efforts, etc. And he says, I remember my childhood. We were going upon starvation upon starvation, starvation upon starvation. No food in the house. And my mother would announce, Aaj hum khuda ke mehman hai. Today we are the guests of Allah Ta'ala. And he says that surprisingly the amount of joy and happiness it would bring to us, unexplainable. Just that announcement that hum khuda ke mehman hai aaj. One friend of the family came in and he saw the constraints we were going through. So he bought one big bag of atta and flour. And that was going on and on. I'm thinking now, when my mother is going to announce again that aaj hum khuda ke mehman hai. He's not looking at it as a blessing. The enjoyment and the fulfillment Allah Ta'ala is granting him in this way, he is not finding it in the food. You see, what they're bonding with? They're bonding with the right things. Mother is sending him to become Hafiz, Quran Sharif, Tajweed, etc. And the Quran Sharif and his formal education is about completing. So the Ustad tells him, that ask your mother to give you a turban. So now tomorrow we will be having your completion and your graduation. So we tie the turban, the star of fazilat, to show excellence and respect. He comes and explains this to his mother. So his mother is crying in the quiet that I don't even have money to have an additional piece of cloth. So she says, no, nothing, don't worry about it. She hid her tears. She suppressed. He said, all right, go and buy some cotton thread. Cotton thread, you know, threads of cotton. And I'll convert that cotton into cloth. You know, sood kaatte hai. How they make that cotton. I will do it. A couple of good days it took her to make that cotton, to make that material. She made that material and then she sends a child. Now the mother is coming towards her end. So the son tells the mother, Ma, you're leaving. I can see you leaving any time now. To whose mercy do you entrust me? You entrust me and you entrust me to whose mercy? So the mother says, that you come in the morning just at the time I'm completing my tahajjud and you come and ask me at that time. She's completing her tahajjud and the child walks in. Ma, you know you told me that I must come to you at this time. So he says, Maine tujhe khuda ke sapur kar diya. I entrust you to Allah Ta'ala. He says, when I heard this, I said, I didn't need anything after that. I didn't need any support after that. Just that one statement of my mother that I've entrusted you to Allah Ta'ala. That was sufficient. That was sufficient. It brought so much of happiness, comfort to my heart that my mother has made this dua for me at this moment, you know. I don't need any security. I don't need any pillar after that, any pillar of support, any security. I don't require it. She's made this dua for me. You see, we have got this doors of dua. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, respect these doors. Don't you ever hurt these doors. Don't ever hurt them. See, the relationship with the mother is a very, very sensitive relationship. With the parents, according to how close you are to them, you know, obviously the closest relationship is the relationship with your parents. They may be wrong in certain ways, I don't say that they will be always right. But if it comes to your own rights, then give in. You know, if it's your own personal rights, you're not encroaching on anybody's rights. They ask you for something, just give it and forget it. Don't even talk about it. Don't even talk about it. This morning I was explaining the verse. Birr, you know what is birr? One is to fulfill someone's need. I fulfill the need. My father needed some help, so I help him out. So one is to fulfill the need. And one is to show kindness with love. That's birr, what? That is to show kindness with love and affection. So that's a degree above just completing and fulfilling the need. He needed water, I gave him the water. He needed a chair, I gave him a chair, finished. Right? But one is a degree above that. That degree above that is called birr. And Allah Pak says, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرِّ. You want to reach that birr. You want to reach that level of perfection. That's above the normal. Above the normal. One is a normal mu'min. And you want to become amongst the abrar, the selected of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to go a degree above. But the precondition for this is kindness with affection. It's not just completing and fulfilling the need, but it's kindness with affection, with love. A simple illustration for this is the father was in need, so you help him out, right? He needed to be moved around, etc., so you moved him. So you fulfilled his need. But now you are thinking for him, what will please my father? But Abba, you know it's a hot day, man. You just come sit down here. You come sit down here, I'm taking you for a ride. So you take him to the beach. You didn't need to take him to that. You didn't need to sacrifice your weekend for your father. You didn't need to do that. But Abba, no, I can't go. I must take you. I will make all the arrangements. You sit down in the car. I'm bringing the wheelchair. I'm going to sit you down here. I'm taking you around. Now that's birr. That's above fulfillment of need. So you're showing him kindness with love. As though you won't feel complete. Your enjoyment and happiness will not be complete without him being complete, him being happy, him being pleased. So you must come. Then you saw, you know, it's a hot day, man. I need to buy him some ice cream. So you bought him an ice cream. You bought him some cool, you know, very cool and chilling cold drink or something you bought him. You say, but you must have this. Don't worry about the sugar. I'll check the sugar. You just have this thing here. Okay? So now how does he feel? It's a different feeling. He says, the father says, this child is not just fulfilling my need. He's above the need. He's showing me kindness. He's showing me love. That love, you can't buy it. Need, that nurse also can do it. In the hospital, they can do it also. The doctor can also fulfill the need. Right? But that love and kindness is something above this, above the norm. It's above. There's no remuneration. There's no reward. But he wants to do it. He's got a passion for it. So you want to extract that special dua of your parents and come to the level of birr. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْزُرُونَ إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. They will drink from the special wine, special wine of Jannat. Who? This Abrar, the selected class. So that selected, you come into the selected class when you bring up your neki, not just to the level of execution of faraz. No, you want to add some additional beauty to it. You want to add some additional beauty to it. It's above just completion. You want to add some additional beauty. So that's the person that's called birr, or you call him barr, and the plural of it is called abrar. So he's going above the call of need. He's doing it with excellence, with love, and with kindness, with a heart of kindness. And Allah Ta'ala speaks proudly about the Anbiya alayhi wasalam in these words, وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَتِي وَبَرَّمْ بِوَالِدَيْ. That they've been kind and loving towards the parents. Imagine a Nabi now, and he's being praised for what? Perhaps he's being praised for other things as well, tahajjud, etc. But if there's anything that Allah Ta'ala speaks about, then it's about his kindness towards his parents. His loving parents, loving kindness. So this is something that Allah Ta'ala really readily accepts. So what will please them? How can I please them? How can I make them happy? It's a Sunday morning, perhaps my mother wants to sleep a little bit more now. Ma, you just rest. I'll make the toast, I'll make the tea, everything. I'll make the last thing. And hot, and you're serving it to them. How don't they feel? How don't they feel? MashaAllah, this child, it was his free day, but he went out of his way, beyond the call of need. and he went and did this for me. So how does a child feel? How the mother feels? And what dua doesn't come out then? Like that, formally she'll make a dua. He said, no, ma, make dua for me. Formally she'll make a dua for you. But when you go to this point, then you'll see that dua is pouring out. It'll be just pouring out for her. That sahabi, he makes the little bit of khidmat for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at tahajjud. And the Rasulullah Sallam asks him, sal ma badalak. Ask what you want. Just a little bit of khidmat, you know, beyond the call of need. That little bit of affection, you went that extra mile to show that love and the care. And you see what you secure for yourself. Little bit of care he showed. And Rasulullah was, it was natural for him to be over generous. Was his nature. Just a little bit of khidmat is done. And Nabi Sallam asked him, Ji, what you want? Ask what you want. Salma shi'at. Ask what you want. So he's also wise, he's intelligent. See, we business people think you are the only wise people. So Arabs also wise, they're also business people. See? So he, if he has got this opportunity, then he'll ask for the biggest thing. Say, Ya Rasulallah, murafaqataka fil jannah, to be with you in Jannah. Can you ask something above this? You can't. You see that little bit beyond the call of need, a little bit of happiness, compassion, love, kindness. And what he does to a person, how much he does for you. So this is Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah, he served his mother. When he served his mother, and then at the end, when his mother had seen that this child has done more than what a child will do, then I will make dua for him. And when I can see now Allah Ta'ala is accepting the dua, you know, you feel that in your heart, Allah Ta'ala is accepting my dua. Now the mother says, I have entrusted you to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So all that endeavor, all that struggle for deen is all in the account of his mother. Al-Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi, people speak so greatly and highly about him. Over 9 million people accepted Islam in one safar from Delhi to Calcutta, right? But the mother used to say, it's not your achievement, it's my achievement. It's my duas that has gone into this. See, you are just an investment and it's all to my account. The mother put it into him. So anyway, we're talking of Hazrat Imran alayhi salam and his respected wife. Anyway, just not to make you any despondent. Some people don't have their mothers, right? So they feel, now what do we do? What do we do? But don't feel despondent. Rasulullah has left deen in such a way that you don't have to feel despondent. You can visit the grave comfortably without any fear. You visit the grave and make dua for them. If you can't, then some portion of the day, at least half an hour, regularly, some Quran Sharif you recite and you transfer the sawab, not only recitation of Quran, some sadaqah as well. But you see a good avenue then for my mother. And you're making dua as well. Even though maybe you may have not been a respectful child, but now you have come to your realization. So Allah Ta'ala hasn't sealed the duas for you. You make dua, and apart from the dua, you do some sadaqah work and you see Allah Ta'ala open the doors. Why will Allah Ta'ala want to close the door? Ma yaf'alallahu bi azabikum. Allah doesn't want to punish you. Does he want to punish you? No, he doesn't want to punish you. He's created avenues that you must explore those avenues and come forward. You make dua, maghfirat, ask for them. Do some isale sawab, do some sadaqah work. And then you see what happens. And I tell you, you give little bit, but with that sincerity. According to your means, obviously. I mean, according to your means, what's something desirable to you. You know, you're talking of bir. Hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun. That you give out of your wealth what you like. What you like, what's desirable to you, what's dear to you, give that out. One is you give something that is rejected, something deficient, etc. I don't say there's no sawab for it. But you want to reach that level of birr. You want to reach that level of proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah Pak says, my selected servants. Then from the things that you like, from the things that you are very dear to you, and not the entire thing, some part of it, you got 12 diamond pieces, very, very precious. So now from that, I like this thing, it's very dear to me, I'll just give one piece at least to someone. So from the things that you desire, you like, and it's very near to your heart and mind, you're giving something of that, not all, just something, something, how much you can manage. If someone wants to become your special friend, right, and he gives you scraps, he gives you reject, he gives you dejected things. Can he get your proximity? So you want to become the special friend of Allah Ta'ala, and you want to give all the reject item to Allah Ta'ala. It's not that you're not going to get reward for it. But really Allah Pak doesn't appreciate this. That your own friend, you won't give this to him. And you are giving this to me. That's not reaching the poor only, it's reaching me. Hazrat Alauddin Sabri Rahmatullah Alayh, it was his habit, that apart from the Durood Sharif, then he would give some sadaqah for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sadaqah, and oh Allah, the sawab for this transferred to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, that is his peer by, he sees, he wants to also do some sadaqah and transfer the sawab to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who, Nizamuddin Awliya wants to do it? Alauddin Sabri Rahmatullah is doing it already. And he wants to transfer, and he says, no, just hold on. He said to the Khadim, just hold on with the sadaqah now. So why? He says, no, Alauddin is being accepted by Rasulullah Paksam now. And Alauddin Sabri Rahmatullah Alayhi wasn't a wealthy person like Nizamuddin Awliya. All he had to give was chana. Chana is about the lowest thing. And that's what he could afford. But he's giving it with love. He can afford this much. He can't afford anything beyond this. So what was within his capacity, within his means, with all the love, with all the muhabbat and ikhlas, and he's passing it. And here people are seeing it, that it's reaching Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it's that love, that kindness, and the thing that that's dear to your heart, near to your heart, you are giving that. مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. The Quran Sharif has dedicated approximately 22 verses for Isa alayhi salam, starting up from this Surah Ali Imran, this ruku here, starting off, and approximately three or four rukus. It's speaking about Isa alayhi salam, from the grandparents to the mother, to Isa alayhi salam, to the labor, and to the birth. And the Quran Sharif hasn't spoken about any person in this amount of detail. No person, not even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Even that is not been spoken in the Quran Sharif with that amount of detail. And this amount of detail for Isa alayhi salam, there must be some reason. Two reasons seem to be more popular. One reason is this. The Jews had slandered Isa alayhi salam and his birth, his mother, his birth. They had made some terrible allegations. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to free him from all type of blemish, all type of stain. So he's mentioned everything, every stage of his birth, of his father, of his mother, of his grandparents, the piety, the nobility, etc., what family is coming from, at the time he was born, how he was born, all that in detail the Quran Sharif speaks about, to purify his lineage. And the second reason why the Quran Sharif speaks about him in so much of detail, the Quran Sharif as well as the Hadith speaks about Isa alayhi salam, even his description, how he will look, how his facial features will be, how will he come down on this earth, what will be his height more or less, what will be the complexion, what will his hair be like. The Quran Sharif or the Hadith doesn't speak about anybody like this, how they speak about Isa alayhi salam. And the reason is that this ummah will have to cooperate with Isa alayhi salam. So there must be no doubt about identifying the personality. And if you do, you have to work with him. He'll be amongst your leaders. He'll be following your Sharia, but he'll be your leader. So you'll have to identify with the person. Don't be mistaken about him. Anyway, فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعَتُهَا أُنْثَى. Now the wife has delivered the child, and she cries to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, I have delivered a girl. I wanted this child to be dedicated to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this child that I have delivered is a girl. Obviously the girl can't do the service of a man. She can't lead the namaz. She can't give khutbah on a jummah. And she can't take any prominent position. She can't give azan. She can't do anything that a man can do. Well, the position of a woman had been already designated and already been assigned many, many years before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also. And the position of a man was also determined. It was already laid out that this is your position. You'll be the imam, you'll be the khatib, you'll be giving the lecture, you will be exhorting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she's crying to Allah ta'ala that, oh Allah ta'ala, wada'tuha untha, because she knew exactly that this is the position, this is the role of a woman. The woman can't take the role of a man. Yes, now some people are living in the dark ages. You see. So those people that are living in the dark ages, they still need to understand, need to come to terms that a woman is different from a man. She can't perform a namaz, she can't lead the namaz, she can't deliver khutbah, and she can't be exhorting people like how a man will be exhorting. So poor people, they are still coming, they're reeling from the dark ages, they're still coming in. You have to give them a little bit of chance, you know. Really, when I see them, I feel sorry for them. As progressive as they are in material, but in Islam, they're coming, they're very backwards, very, very backwards. All people are coming from the West. They're very backwards. One businessman, Jamaat, had just returned some days back. So they were in America. When I see the dark ages, really, I mean, it's sort of just a sarcasm, but really, they're in the dark ages. So, one person came in and brought a whole lot, big box of confectionery, chocolates, sweets, cakes, ice creams, cold drinks, whatever else, biscuits, all. So the Jamaat, all businessmen, all loaded people, and he brought so much of things here. So out of respect for the person, all right, now I leave it here. The next day he brought 2-3 boxes of that same things. They hardly finished this. Now these things here, you just take it as a luxury item. A little bit of chocolate, a little bit of ice cream, you know, you nibble on it. They hardly started this thing, he brought another 2 boxes. So now they had to tell this person, "Bhai, you know what? This is enough now. We don't need any more." So you know, no, "Bhai, I still got a lot more zakat to give." Now these people feel insulted. They felt embarrassed. "Hey, what this man is doing? We came to dish out zakat here. They're giving us zakat here." Now really, where this man came from, he came from here where the Quran Sharif says that the avenue of zakat, fi sabilillah. One of the avenue of zakat is fi sabilillah, right? And fi sabilillah, he interpreted as those people going out in jamaat. Understand? Now, when they use their own brains, this is the conclusion that they will come to, obviously. So that's why I say, poor chaps, they are, in Islam, they are coming from the dark ages. They have to be educated, that they have to follow an imam, that you'll be understanding things correctly in perspective. You're not going to follow an imam, you're going to do your own thing, you're going to make up a mess up of things, you're going to embarrass and insult people just now. You won't understand things, and you won't understand Islam in the true perspective. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى, that the male that you've been asking for, right, he's nowhere close to this woman that we have blessed you. This woman is going to be a leader of the woman of Jannat. She's going to be a leader. She's going to be among the respected wives of Rasulullah in Jannat. She's going to be among the selected women of the entire Jannat. Imagine, selected woman. 4 or 5 selected women, and she's amongst them. She's Maryam alayhi salam. So she's not an ordinary woman. She's going to be a mother of a Nabi, of a great nation. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. You see this mother's dua. All this thing is stemming from what? From this mother's dua. Her spirit, her sincerity, and all that went from the mother, and where it brought this child up to. The father is taking all the credit, all the shabas is going to the father. But really, who's the backbone? Who's the support? The support is the mother. See, these mothers in the past, they were very, very particular about feeding the child with absolute halal. There mustn't be one iota of anything haram, forget haram, even doubtful sources, nothing. Nothing must come into the system of the child. Because they know, they could see it, that if there's going to be one single doubt, and that child's life is going to take a turn just now. So we'll go through the starvation, we'll go through a difficulty. No, I'm not going to feed the child of mine with haram. It must be absolutely halal, absolutely. As much as that wealth may be, it looks attractive. No, I'm not going to take it. We're in the point of starvation, we'll starve. But we're not going to eat it, we're not going to go near it, we're not going to allow the child to eat that. See, now we are wondering why the child is taking a turn, he's going around in circles. Why? Why is going like a circus? You're feeding him like a circus, so he's going around like a circus. you treat him like a circus, so he's going around like a circus. You're not worried about halal and haram, the contamination, etc. And you feel it's not a problem. That's what you feel, that it's not a problem, but that thing is going to really damage the child. Hazrat Imam Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, the Junaid Baghdadi Rahmatullah Alayhi, or some great saint, I can't remember exactly the name. And he had gone into a chilla, fasting, roza, ibadat, etc., whatever else. And after the completion of the chilla, we're supposed to feel a certain feeling. You know, after i'tikaf, you did it right. So you feel a certain feeling around the 27th, 28th night. Allah gives you that feeling. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, this thing is accepted. You see. So now, 40 days, whatever period is being completed, but he sees that his heart is bereft of that condition. There's absolutely no fulfillment. So he asks mother, Ma, there must be some wrong somewhere down the line. So mother thinks, yes, when you were pregnant, then there was one branch of a tree of the neighbor that was suspended in our yard. And the fruit was ripe, absolutely ripe. Fruit of the season just came out and it's fully ripe. I couldn't resist. I broke the fruit and I ate it without the neighbor's permission. You see, here we are not worried about interest, usury, anything comes our way, everything. Put in one pool, everything halal, kullu halal. Say Bismillah, I'll come halal. So you think this is all going to affect and damage the child. His brain is going to be damaged, his behavior is going to be damaged, his conduct is going to be damaged, his outlook and thinking is going to be damaged. So that mother's cooperation, you know, the role that she plays really, really is very pivotal. It's really very, very important. She can just go through that difficulty and say, no, I'm going to see this child here. I'm going to see him right through. Qai Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah used to explain this incident about the Shah of Afghanistan, Abdul Rahman. And his son, the prince, had gone on some campaign and the news had come to the king that the child has been defeated. He's coming with defeat and disgrace. And the mother is totally relaxed. Shah Abdul Rahman's wife, the queen, she's relaxed. Comfortable, no signs of any emotion, any feeling. But your child has been defeated, disgrace, and he's coming. No, my child can never be defeated. My child can never be defeated. Then the news is coming. News is coming right to me. You say it can't happen. Anyway, 2 days passed and the news came. The prince really was valiant. He's conquered all the territory and his success is being celebrated in every town. Every town is celebrating. MashaAllah, he's coming with such valiant colors. Such beautiful colors he's coming with. So anyway, the king, he confronted the queen and he asks, but you know, you spoke so confidently. How you spoke so confidently? You know, it's a secret. So Shah Abdul Rahman says, you know what? There can't be a secret that the husband can't know. Husband must know about the wife's secret. So, well, you're pushing me right to the end. And the truth is this, that from the time this child was conceived, then I made a pact, an agreement with Allah Ta'ala, that I'm not going to use anything from the royal treasury. Because there's all types of wealth that's coming there. I should do something in the quiet. I should do some crocheting, etc. I should sell that. And the earnings of that, I used to eat. And this is what you've been fed with. This my child has been fed with. So I'm sure he's been fed with absolute halal. There is the shadow of doubt that there was any haram element in my child's nourishment. So it's absolutely clear that inshallah, when he's been nourished with halal, then he will come with success. He will come with flying colors. He won't come with disgrace and defeat. He'll come with success and glory. You see the mother's role. Anyway, now there's a question, now who is going to bring up this child? Because the father is late. As the child is born, right? The father is late. Imran alayhi salam is late. The mother goes to the masjid and she offers the child that I've dedicated this child. Whatever the age of the child may have been, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have offered this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't keep this child now because I offered it to Allah ta'ala. It's dedicated. I can't look after this child. When they heard that this was the vow of the mother, and perhaps they knew about some predictions about this child, so everybody was anxious to take care of this child. I mean, if some great buzruk comes here and tells you, you know, that this is, this woman here or this man here is going to be the wali of the time. Won't you want to be honored to be the host or the one that will look after the wali of the time? He will be such a great person. So let me have that honor of taking care of him. All of us will hope for that. Now there's a whole dispute carrying on in the masjid. I want to take up the child. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ يُلْقُونَ أَقْلَامَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ يَكْفُلُ مَرْيَمْ. Now to get some settlement on the score, I said, alright, see the nearby stream, go to the stream and you throw in your pen. Right? The pen that flows against the current, that will be the candidate. He'll be the candidate. Everybody throws the pen until it's Zakariya alayhi salam, and he throws his pen clearly, distinctly against the current. There's no other option but to hand it over to him. Anyway, Zakariya alayhi salam confines her to some apartment of the masjid. When he's entering into her apartment, so he sees that she's supplied with fruit that is unseasonal, like midwinter, and she's getting fresh plucked leeches or mangoes, you know. It's unimaginable, freshly plucked. You can see the freshness dripping. So he's shocked and he says, "Anna laki hadha, how come this thing comes to you? Where it comes from you?" In the huwa min indillah, comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Zakariya alayhi salam, he became a little bit more, his hopes and expectations just grew up. He was scared at this time, he was fearing one thing. What he was, the scare and the fear that was in his mind, was inni khiftul mawaliya min warai. His fear and his scare was, what's going to be the fate of my progeny, my children, my family after me? You see, the Nabi's greater concern is, what is going to be the security, the spiritual, deeni security of my children? Everybody is concerned about material, but the greater concern is, what's going to be the spiritual security of my children? What's going to happen to them? Inni khiftul mawaliya min warai. My ears and all, I'm afraid of what's going to happen, what's going to be their future like. So, oh Allah Ta'ala, I need someone. And then, Zakariya alayhi salam's dua is then recorded in the Quran. Say, Allah Ta'ala liked it so much that he gave it a place in the Quran. إِذْ نَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. When he pleaded to Allah Ta'ala softly, humbly, he pleaded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you desperately need something, please now. In your terms, you'll say, Alani or boss, or whatever person, please, man, make a plan, do something for me. You know, I'm desperate, but do something for me. The most hard-hearted boss also, his heart also will melt. Oh, no, man, take this, don't come again. But you'll do something for that person. He's pleading like that. When you want to petition the boss, you don't say, boss, you know, I need a house now. You don't time that. So you don't make, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirah. No. You ask him humbly, softly, kindly. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. You see, the very tarteeb of dua, how you make dua? نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. You're asking Allah Ta'ala, but pleading to him, Allah Ta'ala, please. Allah, I got no other recourse. I'm aging up. And then he shows about his own personal weakness. إِنِّي اشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ مِنِّي شَيْبًا وَهَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي. My bones have become feeble. I'm 120 years of age. Wife is 98 years of age. So my bones have become feeble. I am hoary-headed, white hair now. But I'm scared about my future, my children. What's going to happen to them? My families, what's going to happen to them? And then with all this, he says, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ الشَّقِيَّ. See how he's wording himself. He's expressing his own weakness. And it's all in a conformity with the hadith. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي ضَعِيف فَقَوِّنِي. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي فَقِيرٌ فَارْزُقْنِي. اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي ذَلِيلٌ فَعِزَّنِي. It's all in conformity with hadith. And he says, وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ الشَّقِيَّ. So beautiful words. It will just attract the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ الشَّقِيَّ. Allah Ta'ala, whenever I call you, I was never let down, O Allah Ta'ala. On the one end, he shows his weakness and limitations. And on the other end, he's showing the generosity and the goodness of Allah Ta'ala. Whenever Allah Ta'ala, I tapped at your door, I was never seen unfavorably. I was never disappointed, O Allah Ta'ala. You always looked at me favorably. You see, when you ask dua, how you ask, how you plead to Allah Ta'ala, it's not just a ritual. It's not just a repetition of words. But it's that heart that is flowing. You know, it's flowing. You're showing your weakness, your disability, your inability, your limitation. And you're showing the vastness of the treasure of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ الشَّقِيَّةِ Allah Ta'ala was never disappointed. Whenever I asked you, you always looked at me favorably. See how you're attracting Allah Ta'ala's favor and attention. وَإِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي وَكَانَتِ مَرَأَتِ عَاقِرًا My main concern, Allah Ta'ala, is what's going to happen to my family now. My heirs, what's going to happen to them? My wife is already barren. And then, وَجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَ Allah Ta'ala, you bless me with this child. You bless me with this child. But oh Allah Ta'ala, this child that you bless me with, he must be my heir and the heir of the family of Yaqub alayhi salam. He must be an heir. He must do all the work. All the dini work he must do. He must see that the structures are right. He must push the thing in the right direction. He must give the right type of colors, right type of instruction. He must do all. And oh Allah Ta'ala, وَجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَ What beautiful words. You know. If you can just add it into our dua for our children, for ourselves. Oh Allah Ta'ala, make this child lovable. Lovable to you, oh Allah Ta'ala. That without your love, he can't go anywhere. Without your acceptance and love, he can't go anywhere. But oh Allah Ta'ala, make him lovable to people as well. So if he's lovable to people, people will take him. He's an alim, etc. But people are not taking to him. So Allah Ta'ala, make him lovable to you and make him lovable to people as well so people can draw from him. Both ways it works. See, so now this is the parents, right? The grandparents. Now you're coming to Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam. The grandparents are over, that story is ended. Now it comes to Maryam alayhi salam. And Maryam alayhi salam is taken to some seclusion. Min ahliha, idhin tabadat min ahliha makanan sharqiya. She's secluded from her household, eastern. Perhaps because she must have been making i'tikaf, she wanted to seclude herself in i'tikaf, some worship, ibadat, whatever else. But she was a godly person, a divine, so it's expected perhaps she wanted to go into seclusion and make some exerted effort to make ibadat. Whatever the reason could be possible, this is one possibility I'm showing. إِذِن تَبَثَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانٌ شَرْقِيَّةٌ And she veiled herself, that she could be dedicated, you know. Therefore the hadith says, you know, see, it says, there are people that are coming from the dark ages, they don't know what is ibadat, etc. They want to mix up things and get women to the masjid, etc. But the hadith says, whilst Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is in Medina Munawwara, he being the imam, and the congregation being the highest and the greatest of people, the sahaba kiram, but Rasulullah is instructing the sahaba kiram that the best place for a woman is a home, and the most confined area of the home, not just the home. Like in our homes, you have the lounge. Lounge is a little bit of an open area. A dining room is a little bit of an open area. But a bedroom, you know, a most concealed place where people normally don't just get in freely. You know, it's your private bedroom. Nobody just gets in freely into the room. In the lounge, visitors come, your friend, families and all come, they just get into the lounge, right? Because it's a little bit of a common place, everybody goes in. But it's a private bedroom, then that most ka'ara bayti, that very confined place, where it's like a secret place, so that when you're conversing with Allah Ta'ala, with total ease, there's no reservation, there's no hesitation, nothing holding you back. You're talking to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is talking to you. So that's the best place for the woman, as the Maryam alayhi salam shows it. إِذِن تَبَثَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِيَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيَّا فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِمْ حِجَابًا She's confined herself. She's secluded herself. So she can put her heart, her soul into ibadah, absolutely towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See? So this is the spirit of ibadah for a woman or for a man. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا In that confines, in that cubicle that she was, Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam. Normal man is appearing. So she gets the fright of her life. Inni a'udhu bir rahmani minka in kunta taqiyya. If you are God fearing, then I ask Allah Ta'ala's refuge. In other words, if you are not God fearing, all the more you're not supposed to be here. But if you claim to be God fearing, then what you are doing? What's the business you've got here? I'm a woman. And how can you ever come into my seclusion? Where we say nowadays, you know, it must be big, broad-hearted, you know, it can't be narrow-minded and all that. Here, Maryam alayhi salam is amongst the leaders of the pious woman in Jannat. And she doesn't want to see the male. So you can't say that, no, you are very clean at heart. know, your picture can come in the paper with this man posing, etc. And you can say after that, oh, my heart was very clean. I don't have any feelings. But you can't be anywhere near Maryam alayhi salam. And Maryam alayhi salam didn't want to be like this. She didn't want to be like this. So you can't claim to be anywhere close, forget being near her. You can't be anywhere close to her. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ مِنْكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا. Now Jibreel alayhi salam, now he discloses his identity and he says, I am the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. And I have come to blow the spirit of a child. So she cried to Allah Ta'ala, أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي وَلَدْ وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا. Allah Ta'ala, how can I have a child? You know, immediate response of woman. You know, I'm not a loose woman. And no man has ever touched me. I haven't gotten into nikah. How am I going to get a child? She's excited about the whole thing. She's worried about it as well. And how she'll appear? What people will tell her? How she'll be taunted with people? But this godly people, the taunts of people is secondary for them. They, like I said early on, that they are under the shackle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not so concerned. But Allah Ta'ala, even in that respect, Allah Ta'ala makes a provision for them. Now, when that labor comes, and she is moving, so she's scared about herself. So Allah Ta'ala says, don't you be scared about anything. Don't you be scared about anything. Because she's going to bring the child into the town. Now, how is she going to introduce the child? So Allah Ta'ala says, what you do? When you come in the town, and they begin to make allegations, slanders against you, all you need to do is just you point towards this child, that's all. Just point towards him. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. That's all. You don't do anything else. And then Isa Islam talks about إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. And he talks like how an adult will speak, not like a child. You know, child totally zuman ke saath nahi. No, in a fluent tongue, like a matured adult person, how you would speak, eloquent. Abdullah atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya wa ja'alani mubarakan ayna ma kunt. Allah Ta'ala has blessed me with divine scriptures. Allah Ta'ala has appointed me as a nabi, and his salams upon me the day I'm born, the day I die, and the day I'll be risen. See the description, the detail Allah Ta'ala speaks about Isa al-Islam, that one day Allah Ta'ala make it happen, that we'll have to cooperate and work with Isa al-Islam. If we can't, then let our progenies, if not them, then the progenies of the progenies, let them work with Isa alayhi salam, and let them work for the same cause.